This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Everyone has a position of authority and exercises a level of influence on the lives of others in one way or another. However, the human experience all throughout the ages seems to suggest that man, more often than not, will fail the test of power when it comes his way. Because by our nature, as the Quran describes us, we are weak, we are forgetful, we are hasty, we are stingy, we're unjust, we're in a constant battle against our evil commanding soul. So when power is added to that mix, a catastrophe is almost always not too far away, unless this person is grounded or tamed. And what better way to do that than to discover and to latch onto the name of Allah, Al-Malik. Travel the world and see the remains of civilizations and the ruins of the kingdoms that once rose to power. The ruins of Babylon in Iraq, the Roman Colosseum in Italy, the Parthenon in Greece, the great pyramid structures of Egypt, the ancient stone complexes of Petra, Jordan. They are powerful reminders that the kingdoms of man do not last. Each and every one of them was dethroned. And what remained each time was Al-Malik, the one true king, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a humbling reality and a grounding one for those who are apparently climbing a ladder of worldly success. Unlike ours, the kingdom of Al-Malik is not limited to time or space. It extends from the eternal past and extends into the eternal future. A kingdom that covers the lowest point of creation to its very highest point above the heavens and spans across from what we know and into the realms of what we shall never know. It's a kingdom that's untouched by coups, revolutions, natural disasters, death. Allah was king before creation. He will remain king after their destruction and will be the true king when creation is finally resurrected from their graves. To then hear Al-Malik himself declaring, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ, to whom does the kingdom belong to on this day? You see, when a family of two becomes three, Allah's kingdom has effectively expanded as He now provides for another soul, another member is added to His kingdom. So bear in mind that the global human population growth is about 83 million people annually, and the global population has grown from around 1 billion in the 1800s to 7.6 billion in 2017, and estimates put a total population of 8.6 billion by the mid-2030s, 9.8 billion by the mid-2050s, and 11.2 billion by 2100. Then I shift your attention to the universe, which has been expanding continuously for more than 13.8 billion years. Not just that, it's doing so at an accelerating rate. So whilst our kingdoms today may expand then diminish, Allah's dominion is only ever growing, an accelerating rate. And despite His spending on what is an ever expanding kingdom, His possessions are not reduced in the least. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يد الله ملأ لا يغيضها نفقة سحاء الليل والنهار, that Allah's hand is full and it is not affected by His continuous spending day and night. And then he said, أرأيتم ما أنفق منذ خلق السماوات والأرض فإنه لم يغض ما في يده. He said, do you see what He has spent since He created the heavens and earth? Yet all of that has not decreased what is in His hand, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is Al-Malik. And perhaps you've also noticed how the kings of today, as their kingdoms grow, they have this tendency to drift further away from the laity of people and the downtrodden, and slowly start reserving more and more of their time and attention to the elite, the important people. But as for Al-Malik, despite being the king of kings and the owner of a galactic dominion that prostrates to him in full, he remains at the aid and the call of every creature of his, hearing their individual dua, acknowledging their individual pains, providing for the birds, feeding the wild beasts, tending to the needs of underwater creature, guiding every insect to its home. Subhanallah, his supremacy and his kingdom have not distracted him from his creatures. He gives them all equal access and attention. La ilaha illallah. This is a Lord to be adored and a Lord to be submitted to. And that's his right as sovereign, to be surrendered to. So when you ask, why is so-and-so member of my family yet to embrace Islam despite my efforts on my dua? The answer is, it's Allah's kingdom. He hasn't given permission yet. You say, why am I still poverty-ridden despite my constant efforts to find an income? We say, it's Allah's kingdom. He hasn't given permission yet. Why am I yet to recover from my illness? It's Allah's kingdom. He hasn't given permission yet. Why is it that happy marriages keep evading me? It's Allah's kingdom. And He hasn't given permission yet. So to know Al-Malik is to know that he is free to do in his kingdom as he wishes. كَذَلِكِ اللَّهُ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ Allah said. Such is Allah, He creates what He wills. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ Allah said. Surely Allah does what He wills. So instead of objecting, accept His kingship over you. Submit to His divine and royal decrees that come your way. And since He doesn't take things away from people in order to add to Himself, you're left with one other plausible option. That He's taken something away from you for you. As Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, He only prevented you from matters in order to give you, and only tested you to give well-being to you, and only caused you to fall ill to cure you, and only gave you death to grant you life. He said, so beware of distancing yourself from contentment for even the blinking of an eye. Subhanallah. Knowing Al-Malik not only makes it easier to be at peace with Qadr, destiny, it produces another really important behavioral trait in the life of a believer. And that is true humbleness when interacting with people. You can't help but find yourself changing. Humbled, mannered, because you live on the land of Al-Malik, and you live on the expenditure of Al-Malik. On the day when the Prophet ﷺ conquered Mecca, a man came to speak to him, and he began to shake the moment he saw the awe of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. He was afraid. And so the Prophet ﷺ wanted to calm him down. And he said to him, هَوِّنْ عَلَيْكَ Be calm, relax. فَإِنِّي لَسْتُ بِمَلِكَ I am not a king. إِنَّمَا أَنَا بْنُ مْرَأَةٍ مِّن مَكَّةٍ كَانَتْ تَأْكُلُ الْقَدِيدِ I am just the son of a woman from Mecca or Quraysh who used to eat dry meat. So what was it that helped him see past the glory of being revered by people? It was his knowledge of Al-Malik, his acknowledgement of Al-Malik. You see, there are things out there that are so much more intoxicating than drugs and bring about more drunkenness than alcohol. Things like money and power and fame, authority. They can be far stronger hallucinogenics. You've seen it. That's why on the walls of certain governmental buildings around the Muslim world, they've actually written on the doors of their quarters this sentence that says, لَوْ دَامَتْ لِغَيْرِكْ مَا وَصَلَتْ إِلَيْكَ If it had remained with those before you, it would never have reached you. It's a reminder to themselves to stay sober, humble, grounded. If it had remained for those before you, meaning authority, it would never have reached you. Meaning this position that you now have was once upon a time in the hands of people before you. And just as it had to leave them to get to you, remember that you will soon have to suffer, you will have to suffer the same fate. And you're going to have to hand it over. They're reminding themselves that Allah is Al-Malik. Your degrees, your savings, your health, your splendid appearance, your land, your fame, it's all unknown to you and shall soon be given back to the lender, Al-Malik. Once your examination through these things is complete, then the verdict of this test shall be issued to you on the day of reckoning in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when you know this, you can't help but feel every last speck of self-importance and entitlement being stamped out from your heart, consciousness of Al-Malik above you. You find much lesser interest in being praised by people. Their attention doesn't excite you anymore. The titles of honor that they offer you makes you uncomfortable because you remember that terms such as ana, I, and li, mine, and indi, I have, they were terms used by the worst of creation, by shaitan and by the Pharaoh and by Qarun, the Pharaoh's minister. As for shaitan, he said, ana khayrun minhu, I am better than him, meaning Adam. And the Pharaoh, he said, أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكُ مِصْرَ وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي. Is it not that the kingdom of Egypt is mine and these rivers flow beneath me? And Qarun, he said, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. I was given this money because of knowledge I have. Don't use those terms. And when you need to use these expressions, it should only ever be in the context of humility before Al-Malik. I am the sinner whose failings have burdened him. Ignorance, shortcomings, and weaknesses are mine. I have a long way to go. I have little to be praised for. I have a heart that needs remedying. SubhanAllah, some of our elders, whenever they'd hear a young man speaking highly of himself, they would say to him, Al-Mulku Lillah, kingdom is Allah's. Kingdom is Allah's. Profound, short statement. Allah is Al-Malik. When an Arab Bedouin was once seen traveling and he was shifting huge amounts of money from place to place, they said, who does this money belong to? And he said, Lillahi fi yadi. It belongs to Allah. He just placed it in my hands. So knowing Al-Malik really does cause you to see the world differently. It causes a paradigm shift in attitude and behavior. And look at the words of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, who would frequently be heard saying, مَا لِي شَيْءٍ وَلَا مِنِّي شَيْءٍ وَلَا فِيَّ شَيْءٍ. I possess nothing and I've done nothing and I am nothing. Hearts that have recognized Al-Malik are humbled hearts. Knowing Al-Malik is to know that the money that you count today was counted by many hands before yours and will be counted by many hands after yours. It is to know that your home was inhabited by people before you and will be inhabited by people after you. Knowing Al-Malik makes it easier to offer and accept apologies, to give excuses to people who fall short towards you, to give the benefit of the doubt, to show patience towards ignorant behavior, and to be far more interested in discharging the rights of others than claiming yours. Why? Because you've recognized Al-Malik, you've been humbled before him. Now with all this said, I want you to imagine how people would react if a well-off businessman was to set up an office for himself in the middle of the city and announce that anyone who requires a profitable business idea, an interest-free loan, a charity, a grant, could come to him. What if this office belonged to a prince or a king even? Now, a quick glance at how people behave during the sales of festive seasons gives a fairly accurate portrayal of how people would react. I offer this analogy because it does exist. It lends itself to you on a nightly basis. The difference is that the giver of this opportunity is no mortal, no businessman, no earthly king, but Al-Malik himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah descends every night to the lowest heaven when the first third of the night is over, and he announces, "An al-Malik, An al-Malik, I am the king, I am the king. Man dalladhi yad'uni fa'astajiba lah. Who is there to supplicate me so that I answer him? Man dalladhi yas'aluni fa'u'tiyah. Who is there to beg of me so that I grant him? Man dalladhi yastaghfiruni fa'aghfira lah. Who is there to beg for forgiveness so that I may forgive him?" And he continues repeating this announcement until the day breaks. So Al-Malik subhanahu wa ta'ala has made himself available to you. So set your alarm clock and take your problems and ambitions to him.